Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The headlines wrote themselves back in August when Burger King were accused of telling Whoppers about the size of their iconic burger. A US judge rejected the fast food giant's bid to dismiss a lawsuit claiming that hungry customers were being cheated by on-store menu boards which could mislead customers about the size of their Whopper burger. And that case is ongoing. But what other companies, food companies, have faced similar claims? Well, I'm joined in the studio by Adam McGuire, RTE business journalist. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, how are you?
This is I'm really interested in this because we had this issue in my family very recently when we got some food. That looks nothing like the picture. And I said, well, it's not really supposed to. But that's a question in itself.
Yeah, it is really, isn't it? Because in this US case, you know, as you say, it alleges Burger King makes its Whopper look bigger in its menu than the actual thing is. 35% bigger, they say, which is a very specific number. I'm not sure how they came to the calculation, but the case, as you say, in front of a judge. The judge ruled that it should go to trial despite Burger King saying they shouldn't have to. Everyone knows that the burger isn't meant to look like that. But US District Judge Roy Altman said it should be up to jurors to decide what a reasonable person thinks about this. And the allegation being that the meat bun patty looks plumper, the ingredients are spilling over the bun rather than the far less plump affair that you actually get.
What you get in the box. And that kind of lawsuit, it happens a good bit in the United States, doesn't
it? Yeah, we've had lots of these. McDonald's and another fast food chain, Wendy's, is currently facing similar lawsuits over the difference between marketing materials and their products. They're only accused of exaggerating by 15%, so not quite as extreme as Burger King. Earlier in the year, Taco Bell faced a lawsuit over its wraps and pizzas, the claim that they contained half the filling that was indicated in the ads. And back in 2015, Subway faced a lawsuit which alleged that it was misleading customers by describing its big rolls as footlongs, even though they weren't, according to the plaintiff, actually a footlong.
I see. That's a very interesting one now, isn't it? Because you can really measure that one. Whatever about the 35% and the Whopper, the footlong?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And interestingly, Subway, or Doctors Associates, the parent company of Subway, they paid out in that case, paid out $500,000 in a settlement, a lot of which went into the lawyers' pockets, of course. But it is interesting that, you know, the judge in that case said the plaintiff had a pretty weak case, because Subway's own investigation found that actually the majority of their rolls were 12 inches long. They were a foot long. When they weren't, they're only slightly shorter. And because it's all standardized, you know, frozen dough gets sent to the restaurant and then gets stretched out and baked, it means even if it is a bit shorter, you're still getting the same amount of actual bread.
The
filling is the same. So they had a good case, Subway, to say, look, this is nonsense. But they obviously decided to avoid the hassle, or maybe avoid the little chance that they might lose the case by settling. And that might inform why we have more of these cases, because, you know, there's a good chance that you get a payout, because a big deep pocketed company might say, look, let's just throw a couple of $100,000 at this, get rid of it, and we won't bother taking the risk of bringing it to trial.
And they might even make that decision then if they have a good case.
Yeah, even if they have a good case, it might be cheaper in terms of the lawyer costs and the image and all that kind of stuff, the publicity, that it might be cheaper just to throw a few quid at it and get rid of it.
So bringing it home then, have we ever had anything like this in Ireland?
Not that I've seen. No, a lot of these US cases are class action lawsuits where a group of people bandy together to take on a big company. They've only actually been possible in Ireland in the last few months. The legislation enacting an EU directive around so-called collective actions was signed into law in July of this year, so still fairly early days for that kind of lawsuit in Ireland. We do, of course, have the Advertising Standards Authority of Ireland, which is a self-regulatory body, so it doesn't have legal powers, but it can make rulings and tell companies that they should change their ads or take them down. Looking through its decisions, I couldn't see any complaints like this against fast food companies about the images that they use versus the actual products. I did ask them what the rules were around this, and they said that basically ads shouldn't contain claims directly or indirectly, expressed or implied, that a consumer would regard as being true unless they can back that up. And advertisers should satisfy themselves that they can do that before they make a claim in an advert. Now, that language does lean more towards making a claim like cheaper than the rivals or better than or so on, but it would apply to images as well. But it's going to be very hard to actually, you know, prove that someone is implying something in an image that isn't actually the case, as opposed to making a straightforward statement, you know.
Surely, though, no one, Adam, thinks, apart from my 9-year-old last weekend, that what they see on the sign is actually what you're going to get.
Yeah, well, I probably had the same, you know, just terrible discovery at around the same age, that, you know, I've known a long time now that the image is not what you're actually going to get in the end. But, you know, there is a cottage industry around this of photographers, videographers, food stylists and so on that make sure that, you know, the image that you see in your fast food restaurant or your takeaway looks really good, and you know,
it's enticing.
It's enticing, yeah, yeah. And you go onto YouTube, you can see loads of videos of these things at work. I mean, like hours of footage of how these things are done, how they're put together. And you know, even if you look at it on a like-for-like basis, the amount of care and attention that goes into these photos. So choosing the right ingredients, carefully placing everything on top of each other so it's visible and so it's, you know, correctly portioned and balanced and all that kind of stuff. They're literally out with tweezers and rulers to try and make these things look good before they take the photo. If that was to be replicated in a fast food restaurant, in your Burger King or your McDonald's or Supermax, it wouldn't be fast food anymore. The time it would take for them to actually construct the food in that way. But beyond that, these videos also show a lot of techniques that make the food look as appetizing as possible. Often it ends up meaning that you wouldn't actually want to eat the food that's there because of what they've done to it, but it looks good. It might not actually
taste good. Well, that's what we want to know about. So the techniques they use for the photo shoots, Adam, what are they doing?
Well, some of them are basically an attempt to deal with the fact that a photo shoot takes a long time, and even really good food will start to look a bit kind of miserable if you leave it out for long enough, especially under, you know, hot lamps and all the rest. So for a burger, for example, it might be a bit dry, so they might dip it in oil or spray it with oil to make it look nice and juicy. You might use WD-40. This is what I'm saying. You might not want to eat this stuff. Corn syrup maybe makes food look fresh and shiny. If you want the flame grill effect, they might actually paint that on with food colouring or with paint, because you can control exactly how it looks rather than actually just taking the chance of putting it on a grill. If you have cheese, it might be simmered in water first and maybe hit with a little blowtorch to get the correct melt. Because again, if you just throw it under the oven, you're not really in control of how it ends up looking. It might not look good enough. In some cases, vegetables can be swapped out for alternatives like peppers used instead of tomatoes because they look more vibrant and colourful. So if you position in the right way, you might not realise it's a slice of pepper as opposed to a slice of tomato. Chicken apparently is really problematic as well, because when you cook it, the skin shrinks and wrinkles and it doesn't look very nice. So if you're trying to get chicken thighs, for example, to look as good as we all know they taste,
that dig there, Adam. Yeah.
They'll either undercook the food, which obviously could be very dangerous in real life, or they'll glue it. They'll stretch it out and glue it back together in order to get it looking nice and crisp and everything else. Or, you know, you want it piping hot. And again, that's going to be difficult if you're going to be having to reheat the food regularly. So one trick is to use a water-soaked cotton bud or a tampon, put it in the microwave, and then you position it kind of behind the food and hide it so you get this nice plume of steam coming out that you can keep swapping.
This is all such a revelation.
Yeah, and these are all just some of the tricks. And I said, it's just to make it look that bit more appetising. Yeah. And they're not necessarily the worst either.
Well, look, they're pushing the boundaries now of what's real and what's not.
Yeah, because some of them really do. Like, some of them are just to make it look more photogenic. Some of them are completely pushing the boat out. And it might not be the actual food you're talking about. So, you know, glue, for example, if you want to photograph a bowl of cereal, very quickly that's going to go soggy in milk.
Yeah,
so you might use PVA glue instead.
White glue.
Because it doesn't soak up into the cereal in quite the same way. You might use glue to wrap a burrito or a wrap together so it holds in place.
Because they
just flop open. Yeah, exactly. Melted chocolate, good chance it's food colouring, and borax, which is a kind of laundry detergent, because it has the same consistency and it doesn't harden, which would be the case with melted chocolate. It would start to harden and go white. Whipped cream is often shaving foam because it holds together better. Ice cream, for obvious reasons, is going to be really hard to use under the heat lamps and all that kind of stuff of a studio. Often it's a mixture of corn syrup, powdered sugar and shortening, and maybe mashed potato in there as well, and a bit of colouring as well, because that will hold its shape, whereas ice cream will obviously just melt.
And this is all allowed.
And this is all allowed, yeah. And I suppose, again, if it looks like the stuff could look like, maybe, then that's okay. But these are some of the things that are going into the food and drink that we're looking at.
Adam, thank you very much. That's Adam McGuire there from the New